I'm Sid Garza-Hillman, and this is what I think.
I'm a little torn, so I'm going to come right out and say it. If you've bought my new book, Ultra Running for Normal People, Life Lessons Learned Off the Trail, and you bought it already, if you just put a review. This is why I'm torn, because I don't like asking for reviews at all, and I got to be honest, I don't read them, but the publisher was like, reviews would help sell the book, and I want to sell the book. So if you bought the book already, you're going to buy the book, and you read the book, and you dig the book, put a review down. Would you, for crying out loud? Now, I am doing a thing, and this is actual thing. If you leave a review, take a screenshot or copy paste or whatever, and just email me podcast@sidgarzahillman.com, and I'll put you on a little thing, and we'll do a little hangout. Okay, that's the thing. We're gonna do a little Zoom hangout, discuss some fun stuff. So if you bought the book already, review it, podcast@sidgarzahillman.com, and then okay. I'm also torn about announcements because, you know, I don't really dig them. And I'll just go ahead and straight. Thank you for everybody. There's the announcements. Okay, check the show notes. Okay, I took an 11-mile run yesterday. I got to ramp up a little bit because I am training, you know, quote unquote, for my own race, because I always run it the day before with my buddy Skip Brand, who got injured. So I got to check on him. This could be a weird year. But anyways, I think he's doing okay. But yeah, so I'm kind of ramping up. So I went on an 11-mile trail run yesterday. Felt pretty good. More on that later in this episode, entitled The Senior Bus. This is sort of a new segment, and I think it'd be fun, and you could email me if you have this happening. But I'm going to start talking about once in a while my favorite stolen moment. If you've worked with me or you've been on in the Small Steppers online thing, you'll hear me say stealing moments. That's a big thing with client work, stealing moments, okay? And what it means is, as I teach people to look for moments, and that moments make a difference, meaning to expect, you know, huge chunks of time. I need to, you know, write my novel, and I have a full-time job and a family, and, you know, and so I'm going to take 8 hours a day because it sounds amazing. Not going to happen, so I do nothing. So stealing moments, okay? It's looking for moments because they're there. I don't care how busy you are, and they do make a difference. Why stealing? Sid, that's not moral. Stealing is bad, not stealing moments. Stealing moments is the best kind of steal. It's the only stealing that the Bible, I don't know what the Bible says about stealing moments. I honestly don't know. I'm not a religious scholar. Oxymoron. Hey, stealing moments means that life isn't going to hand you this thing, these things. Your boss isn't going to say, take a moment outside and take some slow breaths and you'll get rejuvenated. Take some time. I want you to feel happier at work. So go outside and relax. So you have to steal them. You have to steal them. Now, these moments can be anywhere. And sometimes we are wasting time. A lot of times we're wasting time. And sometime we waste is, you know, we want to waste some time. We need a break. And in that sense, it's not really a waste. Would you agree? However, oftentimes, and definitely in the work I do, it's the feeling that we don't have time to do whatever the thing is that we really want to do, the stuff that I would argue potentially makes the most difference to us in our lives, something out there that's hanging over our shoulders that we go, man, if I just was doing that, I'd be happier doing it. I just don't have time to do that. A lot of times that's the creative kind of stuff that's always on the back burner, but it could be virtually anything that is, you know, non-obligatory, I would say. You know, we nobody needs to remind us to go to work. We don't need a steps list. That's if you know what I'm talking about. Maybe you do or don't. But anyway, we don't need a steps list for stuff that we have, the have to's. Okay. The work I do is, I argue in this podcast and the work I do, that we can be pissed about our job, but if we have to have the job, that's why I've never told a client, you should quit your job. I've never done that. I've also told them not to, you know, quit junk food or quit social media, by the way. But if they don't do their job, my thing, or don't like their job, my thing is to say, well, what are you doing at all other times? If they get pissed at themselves because they binged one night or they ate junk food, I go, okay, whatever. Why are we talking about that? What are you doing at all other times? At all other times. I always repeat that. And oftentimes the at all other times, and I have definitely been in this position, and I have learned because of my own training for myself to look. If I'm not happy with something, I want to look at all other things. And I go, okay, am I doing enough outside of this thing so that I'm balancing my life in a way and doing things of value so that this thing that's bothering me doesn't bother me as much? And it's successful time and time again. It's something I would, you know, urge you all to play with. And in your own life, ask those questions. What's going on at all other areas and all other times? So you might not like your job, but you got to work your job because you have responsibilities. But are you also pissed at yourself because you did want to write a novel and you're not writing your novel, but you don't have time to write your novel? Yes, you do. And I will defend that position forever. Because if you say 5 minutes a day isn't going to do anything, I'm going to say 5 minutes a day for 365 days. I'll talk to you in a year and tell me where you're at on that novel. Winner. Checkmate, Sid Garza Hillman. I've seen it time and time again. So stolen moments. Okay, so you're looking for moments and you're stealing when you get. You're in the line for the coffee and you take a minute and you do some slow breathing, or you think about something. You just think about an idea for something, and maybe it's a bad idea, but it's an idea, and then you can get it off the table and not have to revisit it. But you just go, I'm going to think of an idea for a novel, and you just entertain something. These make differences. This makes a difference in your life. Trust me. Don't trust me. Try it out. Worst can happen is you spend 7 minutes on something and you get pissed at me. It didn't work, Sid, one time. It didn't work. Okay. My favorite stolen moment right now is waiting for my daughter to get out of ballet. Usually the class is going on a little bit long. I get there on time, usually a few minutes early. What am I, a monster? But it's this great little pocket, a little vortex of pretty much no signal at all. I live pretty rural, so there's points along the highway where there's no cell signal. I know. The only time, this is for the record, the only time I've ever actually needed a cell phone since I've been living up here, I was on Highway 1, if you don't know it, called Pacific Coast Highway, very, very famous, and I ran out of gas, and I had no cell signal. The one time, I was like, yeah, I could call AAA, but I can't call AAA, so I just ran. I was wearing Doc Martens. I remember that. And I was just like, I'm just going to run Doc Martens. And I just ran to the next town and knew a guy. And he got a freaking water bottle. And we put gas in it. And then, hey, next thing you know, history. 188 episodes of this podcast later. Is that cool? Okay, so back to this. So I'm sitting in the parking lot. I carry a book with me now. Book. Paper book. Sometimes two. Books. Like books. You know what I mean? Not a screen with a book that looks like a thing. The book. Okay, not that you have to turn it, you have to pull paper to turn the page, that thing. And I read. Or when I was working on my ultra running book, I would get writing done. And sometimes it would be 5-10 minutes and I'd kill it for 5-10 minutes. Again, this is the mental toughness, mental focus side of the work that I do. Very, very important. It's risen to the top of how I describe the work I do. I describe it as mental toughness. Not, you know, jag off, rah, rah, but cool, focused, kind of training your brain to focus. It's very cool. But waiting, I love that point. I take my book out, sit in my car, my daughter's in ballet, and I'm just sitting out there in the thing, and I'm just reading my lovely book. And that, my friends, is this week's stolen moment. Next week, I probably won't do a podcast, and I probably won't do stolen moment. But if they come up, that's one of my favorites. Okay, the other one is my daughter does circus silks, and I go to that class, and I hang out. And I, for some reason, that where they have that class, it is like a conducive to writing and reading in a way that I've never, I was like, no worries. I'm like taking her down there. She's climbing up the circus silks, doing all sorts of crazy stuff. She's really good at it. And I read and I write and it's just this great time of disconnect. Okay. Kind of obsessed with disconnection. Gotta tell you. So that's my stolen moment. If you have an idea, if you have a stolen moment, you're like, you know what my favorite stolen moment is when I'm waiting for my lunch. And I just journal on my phone. That's your stolen moment? Amazing. I'd love to hear it. I'll even talk about it on the podcast. The more that we can look for these moments, I'm telling you, it gets better for everybody. Again, if we expect chunks of time on top of our obligations, good and bad obligations, but things that we have to do and we settled in our schedules, if we expect major chunks of time, we will do nothing. It is why every client who has said to me, I'm an all or nothing person, which by the way is most clients, ends up doing nothing. Okay, I'm just There you go. So if you can do something, you feel better. Okay. When I'm sitting in that parking lot, I'm not kidding. It's like being on freaking Mount Everest with one bar. I'm not a maniac. I would want, even if I were the top of Mount Everest, I would want one bar because I might have a, there might be a thing up there. You know what I mean? Like lack of oxygen. I also might want to make a call. You know, like just, if you're on the top of Mount Everest, you're going to guess where I am. No, no. Guess again. You know what I mean? Top of Mount Everest. Yeah. Eighth guess. I have a request. Functional medicine. It's kind of the thing now. I hear it a lot. Oh, I'm seeing a functional medical doctor. So I looked it up. I was curious about it. And I looked, I said definition of functional medicine, and it says see naturopath. And then it says synonym, grifter, which I thought was weird. I was like very specific and kind of critical. But please stop, okay? Because you're pumping out the crazies. Okay, the whole functional medicine, you're bringing the crazies, and they have to interact with me, and I don't want to interact with them. Okay, I don't mean nutty nut nuts. You know I love the nutty nut. These are the crazies. I don't dig it. Okay, who gave you that advice? My functional medical doctor. Oh, your functional medical doctor gave you that advice? That crazy ass advice? Amazing. And here's how much I don't like that whole thing. I got to be honest. I teach a class called functional breathwork. I'm not kidding, I'm changing the name. I don't like the word. You've now ruined the word functional for me, like you've ruined mindfulness, like you've ruined green and other forest bathing, which for up until a month ago I just said hiking, and now I have to make it sound like it's a thing that's from Japan, and therefore it's why I don't know what's happening. Hiking, one less word, by the way, more efficient than forest bathing. Hiking, you get it done. Remember my beef with whole food plant-based? Just say whole plants. I want, again, stealing moments. Over a year, if I do one less word repeatedly over a year, that's a lot of time. I could write a whole novel in that time, okay? So now I got to get rid of functional breath because of the jackasses, okay? Okay. My wife broke her wrist very badly, like really badly. Like, and there's a plate and a whole bunch of screws. If I were on social media, I would just post the x-ray, probably against her best wishes. If you saw the amount of screws, this guy, he like had a Stanley, like a brand new electric drill, and he was like, I might as well take this out for a ride, because there's like 8 screws, and I'm not joking. That's not an exaggeration. It could be 9. A plate, she broke both bones. The dog jagged on a wet ground, and she had no footing, and she went backwards and broke it. Okay, so that was what happened. And so because I live in this little pocket where I live on the coast, where there's not a lot of, signal, but we also have to drive like an hour to any kind of like reasonable hospital. So driving over an hour, and I dropped her off and I went to go get a coffee because she was sitting, getting the whatever, signing in. This is not right when it happened, by the way. This is a check. I'm not a monster. I wasn't like, you're in pain? Cool. Listen, I'm going to go to Starbucks and get a coffee. Do you want anything? You're good? Okay, I'll see you in an hour. No, this was like our fourth visit. She's like, go get, and I was getting her a coffee. Okay, I just want to make sure you guys know at my core, as much as I can't stand functional medicine, I'm pretty light on the touch. I go pick up the coffees, plural, and I'm driving back, and I get behind a senior bus. Now, you've seen these ones. These are ones that go around, pick up seniors, and they do nice things. I've often thought maybe if I get older, be a fun job to drive one of those. Okay, just pick up seniors. Just pick, not seniors in high school. That would be kind of weird. Like, hey, are you a senior? You're a junior? You're not quite there. And on the back of the bus, of this senior bus, it said something like, you know, free rides for people with, you know, disabilities, and it also said 55 and older. That's what the 55 and older. I'm 55. I just stared at that bus. I just followed it right into the hospital. It was going to the hospital. Why? Just taking people that were 55 and up to the hospital and with disabilities also, and 55. And I thought, I'm 55. I could drive that. I thought, silver lining is I could ride the bus. I could get a free ride to the something, to the something for free. That's not nothing. And probably in that bus, if I didn't have to drive, I would steal those moments. I would be like, you know what? You're driving the bus, literally. So I'm just going to be back here working on my Sonata. Boy, kind of a thing. So, brought up a little question of perspective, a little question of moving the bar, a little question of stress management, a little question of I'm 55, taking care of myself. Is it worth it? Yeah, like a lot. And I know that just part of this is that over time, these things change. I remember seeing, I've seen pictures of my grandfather when I was, you know, a kid, and he's in the corner, got a suit and tie on and a hat and asleep in the corner on this red leather chair that my parents had. And he'd be just dozed off in the corner, 3 years older than I am right now. He's like 57, 58 in those photos. And I'm going, holy shit. Now, by the way, I'm also asleep in the chair often. I just don't wear a suit. That's the line. That's the red line. The red line is if I'm wearing a suit doing that, it's time, senior bus time. So I know that as we've progressed, ages are different now. 50 is the new 60. Yeah, that'll hook. But it does give me pause because there are 55-year-olds that are having, you know, kidney failure, heart attacks, you know, strokes, stuff. It's happening. But seeing that little number, I thought, whoa. So it's just simply this idea of before you hit the point of no return, and when you start having serious medical issues, and sometimes it's going to happen even if you think you've done what you can. I'm not saying it's 100% avoidable for me. Of course not. But I'm trying to, you know, minimize those chances. I'm making the effort. And I think that, you know, and a few times in this, in the talks I've been giving for my book, you know, there's the thing comes up, and I talk about the book of during an ultra marathon, you know, people said in the beginning, you're going to want to quit. And I was like, yeah, but not really. But what I found in having done 10 is there's usually, and every one of them, there's been moments, not everyone, but most of them have been moments where I've actually wanted to quit. Like not a joke, not a game, like actual, like maybe I should quit, that level. And I think what brings us back, people who've done it, and I urge you to try it. I couldn't do it. Yes, you could. Most of you. I think there's that moment where you're, whether you have to quit or not, you're looking for a way out. And I think that that's at its core what brings, for me, definitely, and people I've talked to, now I've talked to a lot of people about this subject, it's that thing. It's that moment where you are, it's like happening, in, and you're looking, and you're going, what can I do to see, get myself out of this? You might not. You might not in that moment, but you're looking. You're not giving up. You're like, can I dig deep here? What can I do? I'm so broken down. I'm so raw. This isn't glutton. This isn't like, woohoo, I feel crappy and I love it because I want to beat myself up. This is a very human, you know, strength, power experience there. And I think that as a, you know, I'm 55 now, and I seeing that kind of bus, I'm like, holy shit, I'm trying to continue. I'm trying to go as long as I can, as well as I can. It makes things like junk food, I love it, but it's so, it makes it very much not important in the scheme. Like I could, if somebody said you got to give it up now forever, I'd be like, no problem. So it puts things into perspective. When you're looking long-term, when you take what I call clients, I go, you're taking the long view. When you're taking the long view, you adjust what you're doing today. So when I go on that 11-mile trail run yesterday, feels good. But I got to tell you, I took it nice and easy. I mean, if you timed me, I don't even know. I, by the way, didn't look at my pace. I just ran for 2 hours and 15 minutes. I still haven't done the math, and I don't even give a crap. It probably wasn't exactly 11. It might have been more. I just knew about where it was on my race course, so I know about what that is, and it was going to be close to 11, guaranteed. But do the math. It was probably super slow. I stopped a couple times, took some video, because I'm thinking long view. I'm not thinking about, I got to get this done in this time. And I bet that it has become so not important. And when I see that little sign on that damn bus, it makes all the decisions that I do and all the work I do much easier. It's not, I'm telling you, that big of a deal to choose to give up stuff that is not good for you most of the time, to choose to do things that are good for you most of the time. It's not that big of a deal when you're in a place of perspective, when you know you have your ducks in a row about what you actually want to do. If you want to win the race, okay, fine, this isn't your conversation. Push the shit out of yourself and maybe you'll be great, but you also could get injured, but it may not matter because you got that time that you wanted, that's fine. But for me, I look at that bus and I'm like, I don't ever want to be on the bus. I don't ever want to be on that bus. I don't want to ever be on the senior bus. I may have to be, but I'm looking for a freaking way out. And that's the mindset that I hammer home with clients, and that's a mindset I'm hammering home with you in now 188 episodes. Are you looking for a way out? Are you looking for a way to continue? Are you looking a way to improve? Are you looking for a way to evolve?
If you wanna run away with me, pack your things and come with me. We'll finally see what it is to be free. If you wanna spend your life with me, cut your ties and come with me. We'll disappear quietly. So if you can cross that line, mix your dreams with mine. Just the idea. Wanna dream your life away? I am there already. I left with no sympathy, but with no second thoughts to think. So if you can cross that line, mix your dreams with mine, just the idea.